Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, Milestone Night, episode number 200. And Michael West, Daniel Dark, and yours truly, Stephen Zimmer, are here with you tonight to bring in the big 200. And it's going to be a good night. We have a great guest for you coming up just shortly, and very excited about it. But yeah, Michael, back from a vacation excursion, he'll give you some updates on. And Mr. Dark has a brand new book out today, so I'm just gonna turn it over to these two guys, because yeah, they got more interesting things than me to talk about. All I can say is I have two more cats, and I'm under the weather today a little bit, so excuse the slight nasal tone. But other than that, yeah, go for it, guys. You guys have some cool stuff to talk about.
I want to hear about Michael's vacation first. So,
me too.
I want to hear.
So
I want to hear about a vacation.
Well,
it looks so cool on the photos.
Yeah, it was a working vacation, of course. But you know, when you're a writer, you know, you take your laptop wherever you go. So, kind of every vacation is a working vacation. But it was nice to have a little change of scenery there, typing with an ocean view is nothing to, shake a stick at. So it was colder there than normal. Normally when we go, it's like in the, 70s or, maybe the high 60s. But this time it was like, I guess the week before we were there, it was in the 90s, and then we show up, and it's like 20 degrees in the morning, warming up to there was one or two days where it didn't get out of the 30s, and then there was a day or two where it was in the 40s. But of course, the day that we left, the day we got there, it was like 60, and then they took a nosedive, and the day we left, it was going to be 70, of course.
but your pictures all look so bright and sunny, and you even had a new author picture that looks fantastic, and so it just looked all bright.
That was one of my goals, was to get a new author picture taken while I was there.
You should have gotten one of your creatures from Poseidon's Children to come out of the water and take a picture with you.
Yeah, if I would have had one of my minions with me, I probably would have done that. But I did have the Release the Kraken shirt, though.
Yes.
So
since last week talked too, you also, while you were on vacation, Hades Disciples came out in public on audiobook. So
yeah.
I don't know if. Because I'm trying to think. That was since we last got talked to you.
That happened while we were on vacation. Yeah, so it was that was another little bit of work I was doing while I was on vacation, was getting the word out on that, which it's not like it was a chore. I was happy to do it. So, it's like it's nice to see the reaction people are having to the audiobooks, right now the third one in the Legacy series, Zeus Warriors, is in production, so that should be out here shortly. And then the final book, Kronos Return, is inching ever closer to being completed, so we'll have hopefully that out here soon. So yeah, everything's moving along, and getting some amazing feedback from my pre-readers. So I can't wait to till everyone can experience it for themselves.
Fantastic. Well, we're glad you're with us on this milestone, because you actually have been been there since the dawn of the Star Chamber show. So not, you know, like I said, you haven't, like I said, you've had quite a journey on this show with billion guests and all kinds of crazy stuff happening on the air, but yeah, yeah. We made it to 200 here.
we've hit our bicentennial.
Yeah, it says something, but it's kind of cool. Yeah. Cause you're one of the original co-hosts with me. So that's awesome. And Daniel's been here for a good chunk now and doing the weekly thing. Yeah. You've racked up quite a few episodes yourself, Daniel, but yeah, that's kind of cool to hit one of those magic milestone numbers.
Yeah. I didn't come on until like 80 something, I believe.
Yeah. 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 Well, somewhere in there. But cause I know you've done about over 100. So, yeah, that's awesome. But you've got a new book too, so yeah, spill the beans because it's out today.
Yeah, Victim's Tale is on the way to a bunch of people today. If you pre-ordered it and everything, you know, look for your copy. You know, coming in whether it's email or whether it's electronic or hard copy. You know, they're headed out.
Nifty matte finishes, yes. Oh, I love those.
Yeah, it brought it out in a matte finish with it has a cover of somebody on the front. We will discuss who that person is. and then a great looking, you know, background and foreground to it too. And it's, you know, one of those type things where, you know, like me personally, I never thought I would have one book out. And now I've got three. And
yep. Congratulations.
Still working on things. So,
on the Victorian era. Yeah.
That is the news of my household right now. And, you know, if you haven't gotten your copy of it, you know, order a copy before midnight, and give me some love, you know, on it. So, in other words, write a review once you get finished with it.
Yeah, it's out in like you said, it's out in paperback everywhere, and then also all ebook formats, so iTunes, Kobo, Nook, Kindle, all of them. So. Yeah, go check it out, and take a guess as to who's on the cover when you do get her copy. It won't be hard for you to figure out. I promise you, listeners, it'll be very easy when you see that cover to kind of figure out who that is. And that's what you need to do, Michael, with your new author photo. We'll turn it into a shadow image and have a nice little just a shadow of you on the next cover.
Hey, Michael, it worked for this guy that did movies all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it'll probably work for you. there was a man back in the day that did really great movies and everything, and it worked really good for him. And I think that we can bring a resurgence of it back.
Resurgence, yeah. But what you will be proud of one thing, I will say this about – we have 2 9-month-old cats, and I won't give the entire story because it'll take up a lot of time on how all this transpired over the weekend. But they're tuxedo cats, and they're little sweethearts, and one's a boy, one's a girl, and their brother and sister. But we did name them, and you're gonna love this, Mr. Victorian era, Victoria and Albert. So, or we call them Vicky and Albie for short. But they are named Victoria and Albert, and so. Yes, Michael, that's news to you because I haven't gotten to share it online just yet. But, I've been battling this illness while having two new very energetic 9-month-old cats running around the house. So, it's been a bit of an adventure, to say the least. But they're both sweethearts, and you can tell they're going to be fantastic. And
they sleep all night long, right?
They actually, more or less, they haven't been too bothersome. I mean, yeah, one of them does climb up on me a few times during the night, but it's not too bad. I mean, and she only weighs like weighs so little you can't really feel it even. But the other one just curls right up, goes to sleep. He's real laid back. The boy Albert, he's laid back and he definitely a very chill cat. And then Vicky's the one that's like greased lightning fast and like bolts all over the place. And yeah, she's a fireball. But the two of them together are just great. Yeah, they're very distinct differences in personality, and they're both gonna be awesome. But we did keep them together, and it's a heartwarming story when I tell the whole thing. But we managed to keep the boy and the girl together, and siblings together, and kept both of them. But it's so the family has grown by two. We've doubled our ranks here in the household. So there you go, Michael. Surprise! More cats.
Well, congratulations.
Michael, straight up, it's not a surprise.
No, he's probably not surprised. But yes, as I say, new office assistants, two now. So you know, get one was looking at the laptop today and kind of putting the paw on the keyboard a couple times. So they're getting acclimated a little bit there. But yeah, it's a good thing. So let's take a quick moment here just to go ahead and get our sponsors in for the night. While I still can, like I said, hopefully get through the sponsor spotlight without coughing here, I hope. But we've got two tonight. We've got Per Bostet Publications and Jumpmaster Press. Those are sponsors of our 200th episode. And I will go with Per Bostet first, and then we'll give you a little bit on Jumpmaster Press. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Check out Joanna Foreman's award-winning romantic thriller, Riverwalk Chameleon, or try Ghost Tour Guides, Jacob and Jenny Floyd's Louisville's Strange and Unusual Haunts, and Indiana's Strange and Unusual Haunts. Travel back to ancient Egypt with T. Lee Harris as the eloquent scribe and see just how much trouble a temple cat can drag an innocent young scribe into. Or head for the future, Marian Allen's science fiction short story collection, Other Earth, Other Stars. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. So thank you, T. Lee, Marian, and Sarah. Marian, you have great, great people there at Per Bostet. Thanks for sponsoring the show. And now we're going to give you a little bit about our friends at Jumpmaster Press. And, yeah, this is the home of the Jump Card ID and the Jump Card. Great, great product. So listen up, folks. Here's Jumpmaster Press.
Attention, authors. Stop sending ebook readers away empty-handed. With the Jump Card ID, sell your books directly without the need for an online retailer. The Jump Card instant download, exclusively from Jumpmaster Press, could be your ticket to more sales, more readers, and international distribution. Find out more about the Jump Card ID today at www.jumpmasterpress.com.
And that was the amazing Gene Rowley in Jumpmaster Press, and a shout out to Kyle Hanna as well. Well, great, great folks. Thanks for the sponsorships, both of you. So there we go. All right. So we got our guests will be calling in just a minute or two. So any other news that the two of you have to wrap up things here?
Well, I am back in college now and have finished my first full week as of today in college. And it's been a couple of days since I've done that tour duty. And you forget how young college students are. Today, the professor made a reference of, think back when you were six, like in 2008. And I was just like, really? 2008, they were 6 years old. Okay, never mind. But that,
you that know, got me laughing. He made me cough on that one. I had to silence my mic there. That's good. Oh, my God. Nice. Well, some of the students coming in, you said, thought you were the professor on day one. So,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
There was a few of them that actually felt that, you know, they're like, are you the professor? I thought for sure you're a professor. Then the other guy came in and, you know, we were totally confused.
Nice. It's like, this is totally like going to be like the new Rodney Dangerfield back to school. This is awesome. Yeah, I expect to hear many, many great stories as your semester progresses. That's going to be a blast.
Already taking tests and having homework and all that type of stuff, which, you know, not used to anymore.
Yeah, I don't envy you. I have no
follow rules.
You ought to do some kind of diary, like take pictures of, you know, Jack the Ripper at college, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
But, you know,
oh, man.
Another thing that happened today, you know, guys, so they're going, you've written 3 books that are published, and you're going back to college for English. Why?
I applaud you, Daniel, because there's people that have a lot more books out than you that need to go to college, need a writing course, and they're not taking the steps to do it.
Yeah, we've seen a few of those come across the desk for sure. Yeah,
certainly. Yeah, personally and everything, I feel like that I need to be responsible to my editors and my publisher, you know, and, you know, give them the cleanest copy that I can give them before, you know, and, you know, with my writing and everything, I'm not doing that yet. I'm giving them the cleanest copy that I know how to give them, but, you know, if I can increase my education level of that, of editing and different things like that, then I can give them a cleaner copy. I can give them one sort of like what you give, Mike, you know, instead of what I've been giving.
Yeah, I try, it's like somebody asks me, you know, how many drafts do you do? And it's not really that simple, because there are some chapters where I might rewrite the thing 50 times before it ever sees, you know, anybody's eyes other than my own. And then there are some chapters where basically, you know, I write it and it is what it is. So, you know, it's like
the book
as a whole, you know, there is no, you know, one draft, two drafts. It's, you know, it's by chapter, you know?
Yeah. It's either by chapter or like with me, it's by sentence or a word. You know,
right.
You know, I may write, you know, 10 different words in that sentence, you know, in that one spot in the sentence before I start to go, yeah, that's the one I want.
Right.
And that's the way I
Very
want
good.
It. You know, and that's the way, you know, needs to be used in that sentence, you know, to make sure that I have the right, in my opinion, the right word to convey
to compare it, you know, it's like clothes shopping, you know, you have to try things on to see how they fit. And, you know, until you find that perfect fit, you're not going to be happy with it.
Right. You know, shoe shopping is a little bit different because I wear a weird size shoe. So I wind up having to get a shoe that's just a little bit too big for me all the time anyway. So, maybe
Michael,
one day I'll be able to afford to have them made for me, but, you know, right now, no.
Well, Michael, when they were asking you how many drafts you do, I think that was the crowd over at the microbrewery that houses your books and sells them there. They want to know how many drafts of beer you've been doing. that's what they're wondering.
I get asked that all the time in Imaginarium, actually. So.
Nice. Nice, nice. But better get our guest on the show tonight here, and bring her into this conversation. Yeah, we have got our guest on deck, and
all right.
Tonight's guest, we are moving to, which Daniel will love this, moving to the world of cosplay, and we're going to have a cosplayer and graphic artist and designer who's coming aboard tonight, who also happens to be known on the convention circuit as Medea Ashera, which is the Caduceus. She's the Caduceus airship captain and fleet admiral of Kentucky. And you're going to find out all about that and more as we welcome the wonderful Jennifer Nuran onto the Star Chamber show on episode number 200. Hello, Jennifer. Your mic is live.
Well, hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, Captain.
There you are.
Thank you very much.
Captain, my
Captain. Good evening, Captain.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Well, do you prefer
Thank
Admiral
you
or Captain? Because you are the Fleet Admiral, too. So which is the
admiral.
Correct title? That's
a good
question.
I received the title of Admiral last year at the International Steampunk Symposium. So it's basically for that event. But I'm so used to when I'm at a con and people say Captain, I turn my head. So probably Captain
very
is
nice.
What I'm more used to. But it is kind of fun to be Fleet Admiral. I feel very proud because they made Fleet Admirals for each state based on like what effort they put in to cosplay and how active they are in the scene. And so I feel very honored to have that title. I take it very seriously. And it's
did
been a lot of fun.
Did you get that last year?
I did. Yeah, last year at the International Steampunk Symposium, they pulled a bunch of people aside and said, oh, it was fun. And this year's theme coming up is going to be fun. It's the Weird West is the theme for a symposium this year in March.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited about that.
I love Weird West.
Is that one sold out yet?
No. Now, the rooms have sold out for the host hotel, but there's a hotel right next door that still has rooms. But, yeah, there's still tickets available for that. And that's March 27th through the 29th in Eastgate in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe Daniel went to this last year. Is that correct?
I went to it 2 years ago. I missed last year.
2 years. Okay, gotcha.
I didn't get the dates and everything on it. And
I know it was so disappointing.
I talked to him at Imaginarium, you know, and found out when it actually was again this year and everything. But I didn't put it in my calendar yet, so I need to get in my calendar and see if I can't, you know, work out something to be able to be there because I've got a lot coming up really quick. So,
will you
Most
be bringing
definitely.
Your penny well, farthing?
If I come, it'll come with me, hun.
And
if I can get my car fixed by then, I will see if I can't bring it with me too.
Wonderful.
You don't know about my car, do you?
I don't.
I have a 1901 Oldsmobile Curve Dash now.
Oh my.
Dash is an overstatement.
Yeah,
it's a curve dash. That's what the name of it is. It looks like a buggy with a motor in it. That's basically
that
what it was.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah.
Now, will that carry your penny farthing? Is that a completely different entity?
Right now, it's a completely different entity.
Okay.
But on the back of it, on the license plate, I've got a thing that says, buy the car as a penny father.
Wonderful.
Yeah, 2 years ago, he was actually able to bring it up to Imaginarium, and he put it in the front entrance area, and it was really cool. We had a lot of people doing photo ops with it. And I definitely hope he can get that up here again. You would love it, Jennifer. Yeah.
I have no doubt. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's got a
small enough
6-horsepower engine in it. It'll get you down the road at about 30 miles an hour. You know, it's a tiller steering. If you know what that is.
I have no idea. I'm going to have to look it up.
It's a stick type steering that you move the stick instead of a steering wheel.
Oh, all right.
Very cool. Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
It is. Well, it's small enough you can fit it onto your airship and take it, you know, with you to for ground transport on your adventures.
That
it's not
wonderful.
Too big. But
let's talk about what Jennifer is doing.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And find out more about how to become an admiral
or captain.
Well,
or what the airship Caduceus is. Yeah, let's cover that because I know a lot of people listening tonight are curious about what we are talking about there. So yeah, let's do that.
My best friend Karen had told me about the International Steampunk Symposium in 2015 and said, have you heard of steampunk? And I had not. And she said, well, let's go up for the day. We'll get dressed up and go check it out. And we went up and spent the day and had an absolute blast just seeing the costuming. And at symposium, they have what's called the Steampunk Olympiad, which is where airships compete against each other in games such as tea dueling, penny farthing races, not with real penny farthings, and different events. And I loved it. So the next year we went for the whole weekend. The year after that, I was, you can compete individually. You don't need a ship, but we didn't have a lot of steampunk in Lexington. Like I didn't see any steampunk in Lexington. I thought I'm going to create a ship. And I said, what kind of ship do I want? And I posted on Facebook and I talked to a bunch of friends, and as a graphic artist, it was kind of fun to come up with a logo design. I'm inspired a lot. My mom's a nurse, and so she's been a nurse for 40-some years. And seeing all the good she's done, all the people she's helped, I thought it would be fun to have a medical frigate. And so that's why we chose the Caduceus. And our logo is the Caduceus, but we incorporated an octopus eye because my shoulder pet is a cephalopod named Octavius, and I walk around with him. And so we created the airship Caduceus, and we started competing at Symposium. And then we just kept branching up and getting bigger. And there's an awesome belly dancing troupe in Lexington called Arabesque Dance. And we collaborated on a steampunk Valentine's event last year and had so much fun. And this year they're going to have a steampunk event in September, and it's a steampunk of Oz. So it's one of the cool things about steampunk is you can turn it into anything. Like, for example, the symposium this year's theme is the Weird West. Last year's theme was Steamtastic Beasts. So you can take this genre and you can make it into anything. And that's where the cosplay comes in. That's fun. The logo designs, the creativity of cosplay and steampunk is one of my favorite things. And especially having themes to go with, because it's like, oh, I get to come up with new costuming, which is also scary because most of my closet is costuming. But it is so much fun. So it's just been a big thing for me. Our airship meets once a month. Like, we're meeting this Sunday, and we're working on stuff for symposium and doing costuming. And we just have a good time. I have an amazing crew, and they all are so gifted and talented. And one of the cool things, like, I try every meeting, we try and do something new. So Tim Davis, who's one of our big creatives, came in and did a class on working with EVA foam. So he brought samples of his work, and people come up and ask him questions. And it's just an exciting way to learn and create and give people an opportunity to create things for themselves. Be like, oh, I didn't think I could do this, but I can do it. And we work together as a team. And that also helps us as far as making new friends. And I met Michael Gruen, who owns Steam Props, and he's out of Napoleon, Ohio, and he makes weaponry. He's a weapons restorationist, he said. He takes modern-looking weapons and restores them back to the way they were always meant to be. So he'll take a regular-looking, boring old Nerf gun and turn it into an amazing piece of art. So for people that really can't or choose not to create something, he'll go in and make something amazing that'll accent a costume and he can run around and make people feel good about themselves. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many – I just have so many amazing people in my ship I'm so proud of. We have photographers. William Cardwell does photography. Ruth Scott, who has Hooked on Jewelry. She makes vintage, she restores vintage jewelry, makes steampunk jewelry out of old parts. We have Candy Maker, Winthrop Twinsies. They have a tea stroll at the beginning of every symposium, which is kind of like a meet and greet. And Winthrop's Whimsies makes different flavored marshmallows and caramels. And so we have their creations at our tea table to share with people. And so for me, steampunk is a wonderful way for people to express themselves creatively, get to meet amazing people, and just have a good time. And that's my goal, is to make sure everybody has fun, enjoys themselves, and has a way to have a fun creative outlet and play. That's the big thing, to play and have fun. Step outside of your everyday life and just get to have a good time.
Well, my everyday life is a good time, so I don't worry about it.
Well, some people aren't as lucky.
I'm one of those people that you just mentioned.
Can I just say, going back to what you said earlier, that I just absolutely adore the fact that you have an octopus named Octavius as your companion.
Well, and I even have a backstory. Like, I think one of the fun things about creating a character is making backstories. And some people are like, do I have to have a name? Do I have to have a backstory? No, you can do whatever you want. But I think it's fun to come up with stories like, well, do you want to know how Octavius came to be? Is that something that you want to know?
Sure, of course. Yes.
So my mother was originally the owner of the Caduceus. And she and her crew, there was a battle raging below in the waters below. Two factions were fighting and the big storm was coming up. And there were people wounded. And so my mom went down to help. Well, as soon as the ship landed, our airship landed in the water, this giant kraken comes out and grabs the front of the ship and starts dragging it down. Well, this fleet of mermen see that my mom's trying to help these sailors, so they fight off the kraken. And it turns out the kraken was defeated and my mom's crew could help these sailors and peace was restored. The captain of the merman fleet and my mother fell madly in love and got married. Well, the captain had Octavius on his shoulder, and they got married and had a baby, which was me. And when I was swaddled and in the bassinet after I was born, Octavius slithered off my father's shoulder and into my bassinet and has never left my side since. And so he is my trusted advisor and my protector.
Aww.
So in the picture, I love it. And it was just something fun I came up with. But if you see, my ex-husband actually created, out of an old Tamagotchi and some weird little bits and bobs, created a rebreather that lights up that he wears so he can stay out of the water and not dry up. So it actually helps him breathe, keeps him hydrated. It's this little fun little steampunky thing. And just another fun way to be creative. And the pauldron that he sits atop was made by Michael McHatton of the Airship Temeraire in Frankfurt, that he made out of bits of leather. He did a beautiful dragon scale on it. And so it's kind of a fancy little pauldron that
Very
Octavius
cool.
sits upon. And yeah, it makes me feel really cool. Like I walk around like, look at me. And he's a great icebreaker. I was at my airship did a adventure to the Cincinnati Museum Center. And we went for the big Egyptian exhibit that they had up there, and we all got dressed up, and I had my pith helmet and Octavius and my all sorts of little bits and bobs. And these little kids would come up, and they'd look, and I'd be like, do you want to pet him? And it's kids have those innocent eyes. And some people actually, these little kids thought he was real, and they'd want to touch him. They'd get so happy and excited, and it would break the ice. So he's also a good icebreaker, a good way to meet people and talk to people. But especially children, I love seeing them light up and get excited when they see me walking around with an octopus on my shoulder.
Does he have a garden?
Oh, that's awesome.
What was
the
question?
A question?
I said, does he have a garden?
Does he have a garden?
Yeah, an octopus's garden.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Beatles. Yes, no. That's awesome. It took me a minute. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, Mike. Well, I'm not going to let Michael off the hook there. He, just so you know, Jennifer, that the Kraken in your story, that's Michael West's fault.
Uh-huh.
He released that Kraken. Yeah, just so
you know. Well, thank you. My parents would have never met had that Kraken not attacked my mom's ship.
Yeah, Michael's notorious around our world for releasing Krakens. So that's his fault.
That sounds like a good T-shirt.
But,
I released the Kraken.
Interesting you say that about the T-shirt. Michael?
Yeah, well, that's my latest author photo is me in a Release the Kraken T-shirt. So.
That is spectacular.
Yes. There you go.
Oh,
that's too
it.
Fun.
Great minds and all that. That is awesome.
Well, one thing I think that would be fun to talk about is with steampunk and then like with Daniel, and of course his world is steeped in historical based fiction in the Victorian era. That does interweave with the steampunk world. So, talk a little bit about the fun and fusion, and Daniel can jump in here too, but between steampunk and the Victorian era, because I think that's a nice way to kind of introduce people to the genre.
Well, one thing that's really cool is being Fleet Admiral, I reach out and try and find other airships in Kentucky. And Captain David Harrington out of Van Leer, Kentucky, his airship is the Bituminous Citadel, which is perfect because Van Leer was a coal mining town. So David is an author. He has, I don't know if he's published yet, but he gave me a copy of his book, and it is steeped in Van Leer history, and the characters are actually real people that are historical people from Van Leer, Kentucky. And I had the pleasure of going down there, and I got a tour of Van Leer, and it's so exciting. So he's actually incorporated the history of his town into his airship. And so I love that.
Very cool.
That sounds
very
cool.
It is super cool.
Very cool.
Well, you know, when I went
Danny,
up there and everything, I went up there, just as, an author and stuff like that, and not knowing a whole lot about steampunk, but had been invited to, because of the way I dress and the penny fathering and all that stuff, had been invited to so many different steampunk things that I was just like, this is the biggest one around. Let's go see what it's all about. And I went up there, Cincinnati, like I said, 2 years ago to see that. And you'd be, you think of steampunk and everything, and like, we're talking about, you can be anything in steampunk. There was werewolves up there in steampunk. you have guys that have, cars and stuff that they've built from scratch, up there, motorcycles that they've built from scratch and stuff that, are all decked out in steampunk. You've got, people that are doing artwork and everything else, and bands that come in and play steampunk music, which I didn't even know existed until I went up there. And then you have people, at least at the symposium, you have people that come in and give history of different things that are real educational classes that can be used in steampunk or Victorian or anything else like that. So, going up there was an eye-opener for me when it came to the steampunk, because I thought I knew a little bit about it and everything, but when you get to go to the, like, the symposium and see what all they're doing there. You're like, okay, I didn't know Jack, even though I am Jack, you know.
And there's something for everyone, too. I mean, all the classes, so there's historical classes, there's classes on costuming, weaponry. This coming symposium, Robert Scott's going to be leading a class on stunt saber dueling, so dueling with lightsabers. So how fun is that? So it's like sci-fi steampunk. So, and then if you like parties, they have parties. They have teas. So you can go have teas, and then they have the Olympics. They have dances. I mean, there's just so many things to do and learn.
They also have things like, you know, alcohol tastings.
Yes. The absinthe, they have absinthe tastings and the history of absinthe, which is really cool.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Enough to get you drunk, but, you know.
Oh,
unless,
man.
Unless you're very, very lightweight, they don't give you enough to get you drunk, but
they
give you some different tastings of it so that you understand, you know, that there's difference in absence, you know, across the board. Sort of like bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
You can get really, really cheap bourbon that you can tell is really cheap bourbon, and you can get some really, really high-class bourbon that you can tell is cheap bourbon, and then you can get some really, really high-class bourbon that is high-class bourbon.
Right. I know what you mean.
And that's what he teaches you is, you know, if it has this, this, and this in it, you're going to have a headache from it, or you're going to have, you know, this happen. And, you know, if it doesn't, it'll be one of the most pleasant things that you ever experienced in a way. So, you know, being able to distinguish the taste and everything of it and what he's talking about is a really nice way of doing it. And the guy that taught the class when I was there, you can tell that he has spent a lot of time learning about that subject. It's not just something that he picked up, you know, last weekend and said, oh, I'm going to talk about it this weekend.
Yeah, whipped together a Wikipedia article or two and, gave a workshop. Yeah, not one of those things. Yeah. But
It was cool. 2 years ago, Professor Horatio Hopps came, and he had about 20 different samples of beers that he brewed himself. He has 5 journals where he brews different beers, and one of the coolest ale, he had an ale. One of his friends is an archaeologist, and they actually took a scraping from an old mead jar that was in a tomb, ran it through a DNA sequencer, and got the recipe to make this ale, which in Egyptian times, when it was fermented, the poor Egyptians would actually drink it for breakfast and lunch. It was kind of chunky because it was brewed at home, and it actually had a lot of nutrients in it. He refined it, and it was this beautiful amber ale. So he said, this isn't exactly like it is in old times because he perfected it and made it clear and not chunky, but it was still cool to try a recipe from years ago. So, that was really cool.
Yep. Also, talk about some of the other airships that are, you know, around the country that you know about and where people can get, or if you know of any of them that they can get in touch with if they want to become a member of an airship.
Well, one of the nice things that Aloysius Fox, who's in charge of the International Steampunk Symposium, did was he created groups. So on Facebook, there's the Kentucky Steampunk Society, which I did the logo for, which is I really liked. And that way, we have our Kentucky ships on there. There's the Indiana Steampunk Society, the Ohio Steampunk Society. So you can go check them out there. And I think on the Pandora Society website, they have more information about airships as well. I try and reach out to the Kentucky fleet and see what's going on. And because I know we've got a couple fleets here, and we've got a couple new ones that have budded and started as well. And I like having the Kentucky Steampunk Society page because I just talked to a ship in Evansville that's starting up, and they're trying to figure out what to do and how to get it going. And so it's a great resource to talk to other ships, because I just played it by ear. I was like, okay, we're just going to figure this out and we're just going to learn. And I talked to the Brett Daly from the Fireball Federation. He taught me a ton of stuff because he's been doing it for years, and we had a lot of fun at the Olympics because he and his crew, they really have a good time at the Olympiad and they make a big sport of it, and we just have a ton of fun. But yeah, talking to different airship captains, different crews, and getting ideas, that really helped me a lot as far as building my airship. But yeah, those are some good resources to check out for sure. And people can always contact me. I don't know a ton, but I've been running my airship since 2016, and it's grown, and we've learned a lot and had a lot of fun with it too.
About how many people do you have on your airship now?
Well, as far as active members, like our meetings, we have about 20 people show up. If you go to the Caduceus, Airship Caduceus page on Facebook, there's over 100 members in it. But
yeah,
167 members. But I have about a good 25 active members.
Yeah, about 10% of the ones that actually say they're a member actually do all the work. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we do have people step
just
up,
normal.
Which is good. Well, and some people too, like some of the members are folks from other ships, and they'll interject and they're interested to see what we're doing, and then we'll check out their ships and see what they're doing. Because, well, like the Airship Ashanti up in Ohio, their airship, they do a lot of give back to the community, which I really respect. They have events and they'll give the proceeds to different organizations, and they do, I mean, they inspire us so much. The event we had, the Victorian Valentine Affair in February, we gave our proceeds to Heart to Home, which is an adoption agency in Kentucky. And then this October, we are going to be having a steampunk and Halloween hullabaloo at Wildside Winery October 24th. And the proceeds for that, we're still trying to figure out a good organization to support, but we're trying to, what we want to do is help local organizations. And that was inspired by the Airship Ashanti, because talking to them, they're a great resource and they are a wonderful group of folks that are constantly reaching out to their community and doing good deeds. They're a good deed.
Well, if you're doing it for Halloween, you can always do it to the same people that I give to, which is the Blood Banks of America. So
that's a good idea.
Yep. I do it because of the fact that they've kept me alive over the last couple of years now. So, but
wow.
Well, when you've had over 30 units of blood put in your body, you give back a little bit.
Oh, I hear you. My father's given almost 20 gallons of blood in his lifetime. He started when I was 4. I had to have 2 major surgeries, and my family gave blood for me. And my father just continued that tradition, and so that inspired me, and I give blood when I can, and because there's always a shortage, it seems like, and people need it.
Right. And I used to give blood all the time myself, and then never thought that I would be the one that needed it. And I've had over 30 units of blood put into me in the last, basically, what, year and a half, Stephen?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But, yeah, so, like, my Victorian Ketchup book, 90% of my proceeds off that book go back to the Blood Banks of Tennessee, so.
I love that. Yeah, we looked into local places, like in Lexington, like the Heart
right.
Home Adoption Agency. That's the Lexington organization. And there's a Lexpecto Patronum, which is a Harry Potter alliance here in Lexington, and they do Dobby's Sock Drive. at around Halloween and Christmas time, and then they donate all the socks to like the men's and women's shelters, and I thought that was really clever.
That's an interesting little thing.
It is. It's kind of fun. It goes along with the Harry Potter theme, and it gets people excited about it. Yeah.
But there's so many good charities out there, and then there's so many that you know you want to sit there and say why would anybody give money to you? But you know. And some of those are the biggest ones that you know get given millions of dollars to every year that. The big wigs, so they're in, you know, living mansions and everything, and instead of all the money going to where it needs to go to, which is the charity itself. But whatever.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah, but when you find the good ones. You find the good ones, and yeah, because I remember Heart to Home was actually the charity that was being benefited. I believe at the first event where I met you, Jennifer. I think it was. Event down at World Air Best Dance with Sophia Noir,
mm-hmm.
And that was a Heart to Home benefit, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, there's definitely some good ones out there.
They're part of our airship, too, which is fun. So it's fun to be a medical frigate but also have a belly dancing troupe as part of your airship.
Oh, I know.
Ken and...
Yeah, Ken looks so dapper in his steampunk outfit. That's where he does a good job with his look.
Well, he should do. Well, they came up to symposium 2 years ago where the theme was superheroes and villains, and Sophia had made the most amazing Batwoman costume. So she had wing veils that she danced with, and she looked amazing,
yes.
And Ken looked quite dapper. And then their son ended up being our driver for our penny farthing for the penny farthing races, and he was tickled pink about getting to do that, which was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are a blast. Yeah. Yeah, because that's how I met you.
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, tell us about some of the costumes that you've done yourself and how somebody can get into simplifying a costume. You know, on the first time.
Well, part of my issue is it seems like I'm a plus size person, and so I can't just go on Amazon and buy a cheap corset because those don't work for plus size people. So I have to get creative. I've actually bought patterns, and then I've altered patterns. Thrift stores are a great place to find starter pieces for costuming because if you spend $2 on a skirt and you alter it and you're not happy with it, you're out $2. So that's not a big deal. So thrifting, YouTube tutorials are amazing. One of my biggest heroes is Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. I grew up with her as a strong woman in my life. So one of my first biggest costumes that I made and hand sewed was a steampunk Wonder Woman. And I've modified and worked on that costume, but working on the bustle, I made the jacket. I didn't make the corset, but I had a corset for it. The last thing, and this is one of my big projects I've been trying to work on, is instead of having a lasso, I thought it would be more steampunk to have a whip. But I got to tell you, trying to find a golden whip has been really hard. So I found a couple patterns on how to make a paracord whip. And I have the materials, but oh man, that's it's really hard. But I've watched YouTube tutorials and videos online, but it's all about trial and error because I've made different whips and they look too thin or I haven't found any online that I'd want to buy. But I just find something that inspires me. The most important thing that I tell any cosplayer is make sure you're comfortable in what you're wearing. Because there's like for the Olympics, I wear loose fitting costuming that I feel good in. If there's a dance or a gala, I'll wear a corset, but trying to play croquet or bocce in a corset, that's no fun. You're going to be miserable. So I just say, wear what you're happy in. My co-captain has a steampunk unicorn that she made that she was really pleased with. And we had a fella that most people are very amenable and very cool with people's stuff. We had one person try and gatekeep her at an event and said, well, you can't do a steampunk unicorn. That's not steampunk. And we looked at him, we're like, anything can be steampunk. If it makes you happy, it's steampunk. I mean, I do not like gatekeeping and having someone say, well, that's not steampunk. It's like steampunk is a fictional genre created by an author.
Mm-hmm.
So it's whatever you want it to be. And so I say, as far as costuming, I always wear what makes me comfortable. A lot of late nights, any cosplayer that makes their own costuming, it always seems like there's last minute costuming. There's fabric everywhere. There's thread and tears and pricked fingers. And it's an adventure. I mean, cosplay is an adventure, I think. And I'm not dissing anybody that buys their costumes, because sometimes it's just easier. But I take a lot of pride in taking the time to research and come up with designs and learn about it. I think the learning is the best part. I mean, I made this 5-tiered bustle, and it took forever. But I learned, don't use this thick fabric when doing like 20 layers and talking like a Hancock fabrics when they existed. Now they're gone, which breaks my heart. The ladies down there knew me because I'd come down there with a handful of fabric and be like, okay, I'm trying to make this. What am I doing wrong? And they would help me out. And like my airship, I was talking about Tim Davis, who does the props. He's a great resource to talk and be like, what am I doing wrong? How can I fix this? And so it's a big group effort. Cosplay is a group effort because it takes a village. Everybody's got their own skill set.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I've watched in different cosplay, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, superhero cosplay or steampunk cosplay or, you know, any other type of cosplay, is most of the people in there are willing to, you know, take that new person sort of under their wing and say, you know, let me help you with that. You know, if they have a talent for whatever they're trying to do, and that person doesn't know how to do it. You know, there's somebody in the group most of the time that knows how to do whatever they're wanting to learn.
Exactly. People love to share.
Yeah. And that's a great thing about, you know, when you say, you know, the village and everything, because that's what we deal with all the time is the village. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there, you know, you've got to find your village or your tribe and stick with them through hard times and good times. But, you know, there's other things that you can learn from each other. Like, I may not be good at sewing, but I can teach you how to do something else that I am good at. You know, like killing
exactly.
people or something, you know.
That's a quiet skill. Like, we'll talk about that in the corner. Yeah, noticed, well, there were two ladies at Symposium 1 year, and they're both professional seamstresses. And we ended up talking about, there's the one of the first Olympic events on Friday is Iron Tailor. And you bring fabric and you bring tools, and they give you a theme, and you have groups of, I think it's like 3 to 4 people, and you have to create a costume based on scraps. You put all your bits and bobs on a table, and you take turns pulling stuff off that table, and then you have a certain amount of time. They'll be like last year's theme was come up with a superhero costume. So you and your team of 3 or 4 folks have to create a costume, either hand sewing, glue gunning, whatever. And then you have a certain amount of time to come. So you bring those skills together. And what I noticed talking to my group is that other folks said, you're not supposed to cheat. It's not really cheating, but you'd help each other. You wouldn't be stingy and be like, I'm going to take all the good stuff. You'd share and you'd learn from each other. And that was pretty cool in itself. And then they have a little pageant after, and they do the judging and they talk about things. But it was all teaching each other and learning. The people in my group, we needed somebody last minute. Someone else stepped in. Then we had someone else step in because our group was short, and they all brought their own skill set into that little menagerie of people and came up with what I thought was a pretty awesome costume, sharing all their skills.
And that's what it's all about is, you know, if you cannot, and I'm saying this in general, if you cannot
right.
share and you cannot be sociable and you do not want to have a good time, it may not be for you. If you're going to be a grump and you're going to ditch people all the time and stuff like that, do yourself a favor and do the people a favor and don't show up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
we, you know, like when we're at Imaginarium, we're a family. We like to get together. We like to talk to each other. You know, we like to, you know, to share information with each other. And, you know, because of that, just like up at the symposium, even though it was my first time there, they took me in and well, you and some other ones took me in and said, you know, come in and join us. It
well,
wasn't
you're really
all,
easy
think,
to get
where,
along with.
Well, that's beside the point.
Yeah, that
but,
was... Well, yeah, well, I met you. That was the Thursday night at the cigar thing, and you came in, and we had a table, and you just fit right in. And that is one of the main things I love about steampunk is the inclusivity. And that was the – when I had that panel at Imaginarium, that was what we talked about, inclusivity in steampunk. I had a friend who had never been to symposium, and she came last year, and – some of my airships saw her and they greeted her right when she came in. There were other airship members in. She came to me in tears and said, Jenny, I have never felt so welcome at a place before. And she was literally in tears, which made me tear up because I was like, this is what it's supposed to be. It's having fun and supporting each other and just enjoying.
Yeah.
Being with each other.
Be happy being here. You know,
yep.
If you're going to be miserable and you're going to try to make everybody else miserable, I'm sorry, but you know,
right.
I don't have time for that.
No.
Right. No.
You know,
no, definitely.
If you have issues and everything, you need to talk about issues and stuff. That's one thing, but you know, let's have a good time
well,
while we're here too.
That's really important because. I mean, let's face it, we're all geeks, dorks, and nerds. We all have our geekness and our dorkiness and our nerdiness, and sometimes communication can be a really hard thing in the geek community. And so the
mm-hmm.
most important thing, especially as a fleet admiral, is I have to be very diplomatic. If there's an issue with gatekeeping, if there's an issue with mansplaining, if there's an issue with something, that I need to address it in a positive way and say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's communicate about what's going on. Because, yeah, there's going to be disagreements. Yeah, people aren't going to get along. But if you can communicate properly, have some patience, have a little understanding, because we're all different. We all have the
mm-hmm.
things we love. We all have the things we're good at. We're blessed. The world would be so boring if we were all the same. But it is so important to have good communication with people and to be able to talk things out and be accepting of people that are different. And that's
well,
where
like,
steampunk
it's like
comes
I've
in.
Got a really good friend at, you know, at Imaginarium that if you met them out on the floor, you'd swear that they're the happiest, most, you know, go lucky and everything like that. They love people and everything. That person actually hates that part of it, but it's part of what they do because they, you know, and they, you know, they have to go up to their room and rest for a while because they get so stressed out in being in, you know, crowds and stuff like that. But if you
mm-hmm.
met them, you would think that they're the happiest, most go-lucky person in the room when they're out there doing that. But, you know, you have to, you know, and that can be, you know, your self-medication. You may have to leave, you know, the symposium or Imaginarium or whatever event that you're at for a little while and go and rest and get and regather yourself and get your energy back before you can go back in and do it again. But you'll have a good time while you're doing it, even though you're getting stressed doing it too.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
Most definitely.
I agree with it.
And
I have a friend that does Star Wars cosplay, and he is so outgoing and gregarious. When he's in costume, he is just out there. But then, like, he's actually a really shy, introverted person. So when he's not in costume, his wife's like, how are you this way when you're in costume? But then when you're just in regular clothes, you're completely different. And he's like, it's like a switch gets flipped. When he's in costume, he's on. And I totally get that. That makes sense to me.
Well, that was exactly what I was about to bring up there, is the fact that cosplay is not just about the costuming itself, but also how people, and that's what I always observe, is how they just, you know, embody the different characters. And you can see somebody do three different costumes over a weekend, but they actually embody three different distinct characters, and even, you know, and perform or acting or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, they actually, there's that whole dimension to it.
That's just because most of us have split personalities that we haven't dealt with yet.
Well, Daniel was talking about the werewolf at Symposium, and she's actually a lycanthrope. So I saw her in a weekend. She started out on Friday as human, and then the next day she started to change. So she had paws, and by the end of the symposium, she was full-on lycanthrope. And I was like, what a neat thing. So she's got that built into her character. So her transformation is over the course of the weekend, which I thought was really clever. How fun.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing about it is the costume basically stayed the same, except for the fact of all the fur and everything being added in stuff. So, and that, you know, the headgear and stuff, which I don't know how she was breathing in that, because it looked heavy and massive.
Oh, it looked super sweaty. It looked great, but yeah, I was hot just looking at her. Well, you were talking about costuming, and again, Tim Davis, who's one of, I just totally look up to him and respect him as far as costuming. He was talking about costuming on a budget, so he works really hard on his accessories. And he says, when we were up at the Chicago event, the big steampunk event up in Chicago, he had a base outfit, which was trousers, a top, and a long coat. And he would go up to his room and alternate basics. Like he had a kind of a pirate steampunk, and all he had to do was add the hat, the eyepiece. He has a little steampunk parrot, blam, pirate steampunk. And then he'd go in and change it. And he's got these amazing wings that open and close. And so he'd take off the pirate thing and put that on, and blam, he's a aeronaut. Or so it's like you can have a base layer and just add accessories. People look at the accessory like, wow. So you don't need to spend a lot of money on a costume. You can just add bits and bobs and change your look.
Yeah, the wings and everything that he's got is a little bit, you know, it looks like it took a lot of work to do it. It may not have. I haven't looked at how to do those. But it looked like it took a lot of work, because he can sit there and he can pull one little thing and the wings just spread all the way out. You know,
Well, and the attention to detail, if you looked, he had this big canister on his back. And when you looked into the canister, he had glowing coals. Like, they weren't real coals, of course, but they pulsated like they were glowing coals. So just all these little diodes that lit up and things that would blink. And there's at Chicago, they had a class on how to build it's escaping me, the armbands. It's like the wristlets. What are those called?
Gauntlets.
But gauntlets, thank you very much. And so there was a whole class, and the gentleman that was teaching it, we could get things that lit up. And what he did was he would buy old purses at the Salvation Army and take off the handles, and those would be the straps to strap it onto your arm. And he'd just collect bits and bobs, and he had big boxes of them. We'd just pick them out. And he used shin guards and arm guards, like those old ones for like rollerblading, and you'd cover those with fabric. And so for $20, we made a whole arm gauntlet that lit up and looked really cool. So again, you don't have to spend a lot of money to make something that looks pretty neat. YouTube.
Right. And you know, a little bit of paint goes a long ways on some of that stuff.
It does, for sure.
Because like you were talking about, you know, the shin guards and the elbow guards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning how to how to do like a, you know, like it's been in a fire or something on those pieces, on the plastic pieces and stuff like that, like, and cutting out parts of it and just little things like that that you can do to it and make it look like it's, you know, that you've been through battle and stuff.
Yep.
Over, you know, over some time period. And
or rub and buff is good for that, for texturizing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if have you heard of rub and buff? That stuff's pretty cool.
I've heard of it. I haven't used it before, but you know, it's one of those type things.
Creating a patina.
Mhm. But I haven't used it myself. I haven't had a need to use it. Really, I say that, and I probably need to use some on my bike actually. get my wheels back in order and the spokes and everything back in order, but that would do good for that. But yeah, it's just there's so many different little things that you can do, and especially like you're saying on YouTube, if you've got something that you're wanting to do, more than likely if you've got the idea of doing it, somebody else in the world has done a video on how to do that, or at least something
mm-hmm.
very similar to it that you can find and learn how to do anything really. You know, you can even learn how to be a publisher if you want to. I don't know why, but you know, you can.
Oh no! Oh no! No, discourage everyone from doing that road. but yeah, I know what you mean, Daniel. Yeah, there's some great resources out there, and I'm thinking Michael's in the background taking notes for his new Legacy of the Gods book for doing some awesome cosplay with all of his creatures in there. So that's what you need to do, Michael.
Well, I haven't heard any really snoring out of him, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sitting in your store chair tonight?
Store chair.
He's in my snort chair.
A snore chair. That's it. Oh, God. Yeah, well, the famous snore chair.
Yeah.
But,
It is.
What is the snore chair?
I have a. I have a chair in my office that's very comfortable.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable because Mike, you know, we've lost Mike, you know, a couple of times to the snore chair.
We did lose Michael one night where he actually, fell asleep. It was awesome.
Did
in
he
my
snore?
Defense, I don't think we've.
In my defense, it was a hot night.
And he was in air conditioning.
No.
We love you, Michael.
Did you actually start snoring? Is that why it's called this? Did you start snoring on air? So it's a live podcast.
I hope not.
No, we were actually talking to him, and we weren't getting any response, and we weren't getting any response, and we weren't getting any response. And then about 30 minutes after we ended the show, he sends us a message and everything.
That was a good. That was fun.
I woke up with my headphones on.
Were you out for a long time?
Where'd everybody go?
He was out for a good hour, if not more, because we went over that night quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was about 30 minutes after we gotten off the air that we got a message from Michael.
Well, that was legendary.
Yeah, sometimes, though, I've gotten kicked off after hours, and if you get kicked off after hours, you can't get back in.
I had that happen one night.
Yep, that's one of the fun things in doing a live show, and like I said, over 200 course of 200 shows, you have a lot of adventures. And yeah, the worst is when you can't do your host login right before the live show starts.
That's the real nightmare.
not because you've done anything wrong, but because the people that you're having host your podcast are down.
Yep.
And they
that has actually happened, we're going to be down at this point in time.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but we're working on that. We'll be up after a while.
Yeah.
Just keep trying.
That is always a great thing. Thankfully, on our milestone night here at Jennifer, we're actually we encountered none of those problems. So that's good.
Yeah.
He just jinxed us. There's like 15 minutes left. They're like, what can happen?
Right. Yeah, there's still time for Michael to fall asleep. Still time for the system to go down. Yeah, there's all kinds of things can happen. But yeah. Well.
Well, getting back to Jennifer's exploits and stuff. Jennifer, do you do any writing or anything else besides the cosplay and stuff? Or
well, I will say I also like Renaissance stuff, and as far as like storytelling, like my story about Octavius's creation, I do jot down notes.
Mm-hmm.
And come up with stories. I write poetry, but I do write down small stories about the airship because it is fun to have adventures. And one of the other games in the Steampunk Olympiad is called the Writing Relay. And so you have three or four writers from your airship get together and they give you a topic and you all write a story together. And so I actually have a couple authors in my ship that they're starting to write the Caduceus backstory. Sean McClellan, Jesse Lee Wooten, who's another author. He's a published author in my ship. He's been coming up with some ideas. So I just write down little stories. I don't write books, but I do enjoy being creative as far as coming up. Like with my costuming, coming up, I have a body frame and I'll come up with a character costume and then maybe make a little backstory with that because it's fun. I do a zombie cosplay too, so when I create a zombie I always make a backstory with him or her depending on what the character is because I think that's fun. You don't have to, but I like to. It's like, where did this come from? Well, I was inspired by this because I'm a voracious reader. In fact, I got Daniel's book A Knife Tale and I read that one night. Like, I ate it up. It was like, I think we just gotten back from symposium and I was exhausted because it was 4 days of captain. And I was like, I'm going to sit here and read a book. And I just ate it up. And I really like it. It's a great book. And
you need to write a review about it.
And where do I post that review?
Amazon.
Oh God.
For awesome too. For someone that likes to cook.
Oh yeah, Amazon.
Like, to make all of that. Oh, I didn't even think that. I should totally do that. But I didn't buy it on Amazon. Can I still do a review?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No author will refuse an Amazon review. We all need those. So that's definite.
I love that, and I thought
that's the big one.
Imaginarium. What a great idea for you all to have cosplayers at Imaginarium, and my airship had a blast. Like, and it was fun hanging out with the orcs. And you were talking about camaraderie earlier, and all the orcs. The Ohio River Valley cosplayers showed up at our panel to support us, and getting to meet all the different the Ghostbuster group I think it really added a lot to Imagineering. And then I met so many authors that were just a pleasure to get to know, and that I actually some of them knew Jessica. She has a pseudonym and I can't remember it, but. She was there, and she's a friend of mine. I was like, what are you doing here? She's like, I have a book. I'm like, no way. So that was pretty cool. So I don't know.
Oh, Jessica Cardwell.
Yes.
Jessica Cardwell? Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know she had a pseudonym on her book, but, she was there, and she had a table. And so we got to hang out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's just what a great event. I'm really looking forward to this year, too. And I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier.
I know. We've got our hotel room booked, and I'm coming up with ideas for we were talking about maybe doing a craft or something steampunky, like a steampunk craft something. And so I was like, I'm really running on that because I thought that would be fun. So I've got some ideas blooming for Imaginarium. I'm just tickled.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is there a death ship steampunk yet? Or it's all killers and stuff on it?
Oh, there could be. See, most what I noticed in the airships, like with the Airship Ashanti, they're, I guess, do-gooders, you'd say. And like the Fireball Federation, they are big partiers. Like they would host Friday night parties, and they're wild. So, I mean, I think every ship brings its own, but I could totally see there being a ship of just marauders and murders. I currently don't know of one like that, but I'm
or a penal
there.
Ship.
Yeah.
You just
that
made
would be
blast,
cool,
yeah.
Kind of like a prison break.
That might be fun.
Yeah, like a prison break on a airship that was like, you know, escorting prisoners,
yeah,
to Australia or something.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that'd actually be pretty fun. Yeah,
I think it would be cool. We'll see. With our medical frigate, it's not just Western medicine. Like we have a healer that works with herbs. We have some witches. We have some Western medicine. We've got some Eastern medicine. We've got different characters that have chosen. We actually have a kind of mad scientist that he's a young fella, and he's always telling me some horribly wonderful thing that he's created to help protect the ship, like poison darts and gases. And he has a mask that covers his face, and he's kind of like a plague doctor, sort of. Mm-hmm. But he gets really creative with it. So I could see he'd be great on the ship like that with the marauders, and that's fun.
Cool.
I've got some ideas now. That would be a fun Halloween theme. Because we're doing
well,
that's
the one you'll have to get Michael. Have to get Michael aboard that group then. Get him doing some good cosplay with you now. That'll be fun.
Definitely. With those glasses and that hat and that stash, yeah, I could see that.
But we got about 8 minutes left, so I wanted to give you a chance to also talk about the definitive schedule, because we did get that question from the chat room from Kenzie Michaels. Definitely want to know all the cons that you're going to be at with the airship coming up here in the next few months.
Well, let's see. There's the International Steampunk Symposium, which is March 27th through 29th in Cincinnati. There is Imaginarium, July 10th through 12th in Louisville. There is, let's see, the wonderful Steampunk of Oz Masquerade Party in Lexington at Arabesque on September 5th. And then our Steampunk and Halloween Hullabaloo at Wildside Winery in Versailles on October 24th. And then I am pretty
very
excited.
Cool.
What my friends told me about TeslaCon, and that's November 5th through 7th. And I'm trying to remember where that is. Do you remember? Oh, I'm going to look it up. But that, I've heard so many wonderful things about TeslaCon that I'm pretty excited about that. Let's see. Madison, Wisconsin. That'd be a trek, but I've heard so many cool things about it that I think that's one that I want to check out. So that's
very
what
cool.
We're doing.
All right. And while we're on that subject, as far as people finding you online or the airship online, what are some online contacts where folks can look you up on the web?
Okay, well,
follow
the
you
Airship
or connect.
Caduceus. Yeah, the Airship Caduceus on Facebook, definitely. And then me, Jennifer Noren. And there's the Kentucky Steampunk Society. Now, that's on Facebook, but there's also a web page, the Kentucky Steampunk Society. The Pandora Society, that's run by the folks that put on the Steampunk Symposium, but they also, there's also events in Covington, like this coming Saturday at Molly Malone's, there's going to be a salon where Brett Daly is going to be teaching the art of tea dueling. So you can check on for more information there. I think they posted on the Kentucky Steampunk Society today about that. So that's the most recent thing coming up is the salon at Molly Malone's in Covington.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, Daniel, what do we have left to cover here that you think we should? We got about 5 minutes left.
I want
Michael,
to hear if she's ever tried writing a penny fathering.
No, and I want to, so I have not.
Uh-oh.
Our symposium. Our penny farthing for the penny farthing races are actually made out of old tricycles. And the coolest thing about my penny farthing for our airship is it was my childhood tricycle that my ex-husband restored. And he's beautiful. So when if anybody comes to symposium, you'll get to see my childhood tricycle that is now our airship penny farthing.
Very cool.
Yeah,
Michael needs to get on one too.
Seeing Daniel when I wasn't prepared for this a few years ago at symposium, and I was staying at the hotel next door, and I was walking to the host hotel, and here comes Daniel riding his penny farthing. I was like, oh my God, I didn't have my phone. I wanted to take a video. I was so excited. And my friends and I were, they were still in the room, and there's Daniel just up and down. I was like, that's awesome. So what a treat, because usually a lot of things go on inside, but to see Daniel riding the penny farthing outside, like a real penny farthing, was just spectacular. It was very cool.
Yeah.
Well, mate, you know, if I can work it out, I will probably be at, you know, in March. I've got to do a lot of scheduling here to be able to do that.
I know you can do it.
And if it doesn't happen there, we do have a lot of room at the new Imaginarium venue. It's a great upgrade. It's sharp, and there is a long, winding corridor thing that's wonderful. So yeah, we could definitely get this done at Imaginarium if it doesn't happen then.
Yeah.
So that's for you too, Michael.
Imaginarium is already,
you too, Michael.
Is already done. So.
Then we'll have to get Holly aboard one. That'll be a challenge.
Oh,
but, oh man. She'd be a terror on one. She'd be just tearing right through that place. I know she's amused by the thought of trying one. So who knows? I might even get on one by then. I don't know. I'm going to try to get myself back a little better here this year. So hopefully maybe by then I can tackle that. So we'll see. We'll see. Who knows? We'll have a penny farthing party. It'll be great.
That sounds like fun.
Everybody bring the penny farthing to Imaginarium.
And then we'll call in the medical airship to.
Yeah, we'll need the medical airship then. Yeah.
And I will say we carry first aid kits. So we've got, one year we had Gatorades, we had snacks, we had, I do carry first, so I've got Band-Aids, antibacterial ointment. We give out like free hand massages, and I have little individual packs of Tylenol, ibuprofen, Advil, Tums. You know, I was serious about it. We do. I have a couple of folks that carry around first aid should they need it. And I know CPR and basic first aid, so.
Nice.
I got you covered.
Yeah, and our head of security is also an EMT by profession, so we do have some backups there, so it's going to be all right. We have a few mess ups on the penny farthings. But coming up on a minute left here. Is there anything else you'd like to say that we haven't covered here, Jennifer?
I can't think of anything. I am so grateful that you had me on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Invite people to your starship.
Yes. Absolutely.
Invite people to your starship.
My airship.
Yes. Or airship.
Right,
airship.
Star Trek. Yes, airship.
Yes.
Yeah. Airship. Captain Kirk lives next door. You can get on his starship. He's my airship.
It's getting early.
There you go. It is. It is. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. And
definitely
everybody, we'll see you next week on next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the Star Chamber Show. So signing off, I'll turn it over to Jennifer, Michael, and Daniel to say goodnight.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And until we see you next week, be creative. Good night.
Indeed.